The first national accounts in Britain, and indeed the first detailed national accounts prepared anywhere in the world, were constructed in the Second World War by a team in the Treasury led by James Mead and Richard Stone. And I had the privilege towards the end of his career of working with James Mead. And one day he told me a story about the compilation of these accounts. And he'd said they'd got a long way through aggregating various sectors of the economy. And they noticed they'd forgotten about hairdressing. So he said, I said to Dick Stone, Dick, how often do you get your hair cut and how much do you pay for it? And then he rang his wife and said, how often do you get your hair cut and how much do you pay for it? And these amounts were aggregated up to produce the first estimates of UK national output of hairdressing.
You're still doing it that way, Joe.
I'll come back to that in a moment. Because I'm telling that story, firstly, because it's quite amusing, but also I think it illustrates a number of more fundamental points, which is that GDP is not a creation of a conspiracy of multinational companies, neoliberals, and the Koch brothers to mislead us into giving economic weight factors and attention they don't deserve, while we, with the intention of subverting democracy and social justice. GDP is a construct created by able men who are trying their best to use their skills to defeat Hitler. And we shouldn't forget that. And if we remember that context, we also understand really what GDP is about, which is that Mead and Stone were, under the tutelage of Keynes, trying to understand the circular flow of income in the UK economy, and that's why there was an income side, an expenditure side, an output side to the creation of these national accounts. It was enabled us to understand the disposition of resources better so we could plan these resources in order to win a war. That's what it was for. And that also explains some of the odder features of GDP, particularly the one Martin has mentioned, why we care, why we measure GDP rather than net domestic product. If it's 1941, then you don't care very much about depreciation. You want to have the largest output you can have to throw at the enemy. Third reason for picking up the anecdote is that it's a good example of calibration. I did the Mead exercise again last night, and I came up with a figure about £8 billion, or about 0.4% in total of UK GDP. I haven't checked that against the number which John uses in the national accounts. Maybe his wife gets his hair done more often than I do, or vice versa. But the exercise of calibration, which says actually we don't know it's 8 billion, but we do know it's not 1 billion and it's not 20 billion, is one which is useful in all kinds of contexts. And that brings one to a broader issue, which is that people in the Royal Society, physicists, who use concepts typically like mass and velocity, and these are well understood and agreed and uncontested concepts, and there are instruments to measure them, and any competent technician using the same instrument will come up with the same answer. Economics and social sciences generally uses concepts which aren't like that. And many of the key concepts in economics are things like aggregate output, which is what GDP is a measure of, prices and inflation, the money supply, capital, and the like, none of which have that quality of objectivity which applies to most of these physical issues. And that creates a load of problems for economists that are unique to, or which are found much more in social sciences than in natural sciences. There's an element of subjectivity and arbitrariness in these measurements. And that has given rise to a lot of problems which Paul Romer has recently talked about some of under the heading of mathiness. That is, people using symbols in models without it being clear what is the empirical phenomenon to which these symbols refer. But GDP is basically a measure of aggregate output, as it was for Mead and Stone, and we need to stick with it for that. It's not a lot of other things, and it's a weak criticism of it, that it is not a lot of other things. Now, in assembling the panel for tonight, Dougal has selected people, as you would expect, rather carefully. But he has selected people who are all willing to engage at some level or another in the technical analysis of GDP. Most of the criticism of GDP comes not from people who are willing to engage in that technical analysis. It comes from people who actually have very hidden, barely below the surface, a political or an ideological agenda. They want to give more emphasis to environmentalism or feminism or anti-consumerism or something, the kind of material that's contained in the polemical pilling book, which John referred to right at the beginning, and which is by far the most common sense set of criticisms of GDP. And I want us to take in this debate a very hard line against that kind of thing. That GDP is the right, that if the criticism is that GDP is the target of politicians, that doesn't mean we should change GDP. It means we should help politicians understand what GDP means and how other things should be the targets. And we should refer the people who are criticizing GDP not to debates in the Royal Society, but to debates in Westminster. It's a bit like people saying that because they think people drive too fast, they should come to the Royal Society and persuade the Royal Society to redefine what is meant by velocity. Actually, they should be going to Parliament to tell people to change the speed limit. And we need to think about it in that way. And if I were to come and say, actually, Royal Society, you'll do a public service by redefining what is meant by velocity, if I was lucky, I would be laughed at, and at worst, I would be thrown down the steps of the Royal Society, and that would be right too. Because there is actually no more important cause for science than defending the objectivity or the attempt to find objective measurement against this kind of criticism. And that's been an issue right from Galileo to Lysenko. And it's been an issue in Britain in the last 30 years, where we've actually seen more and more pressure on people like John and his colleagues to produce statistics which meet political requirements rather than being objective measures. And we're lucky to have created the Statistics Authority as some kind of attempt to provide a greater bulwark against that. We need only to look at Argentina, where they started fiddling with their inflation rate, or at China, where you know what growth rate they're going to announce even before the quarter about which they announce it has started is, to see that the politicization of this thing is something we need to fight very much against. And that, I think, is the debate we should be having. I'm very glad that the view which has been taken by most of the panelists this evening is that GDP is a good measure for many purposes of what it is intended to measure. It is not a criticism of GDP that it doesn't measure other things. And there's every reason why we should produce other things as policy indicators and for use in policy, but they are not reasons why we should depart from the idea that GDP is part of this system of national accounts that is designed to explain the flow of resources, output, income, and expenditure in the British economy. We lose that concept at our great peril.